Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? The answer? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? That's the dilemma. See, the problem is a lot of people believe that Christians, when they come over here to this area that we live in, Romans 2, Philemon, and they're alive, these Christians believe that sin is an issue, but according to the truth of the Word of God, your sins were placed upon Him. And then when He died, you died. When He was buried, you were buried. And when He was raised again, you were raised again. Do you all understand that? That is, it is not a matter of process. It's not you giving up sin. It's not about sin at all. Why? You've been dead. Brother Moore gave this illustration years ago, and it always stuck with me. I believe in using lots of illustrations, the rope idea and that kind of thing. And the illustration is judgment. And so this guy comes along, and he is guilty of murder. He's flat out guilty. The judge says, you shall be condemned to death. Okay? So they all agree, the 12 jurors. They go, that man should die. So they put him in an electric chair and they flip the switch. And yes, he goes and dies. They carry him out to the graveyard there at the prison and they dig a hole. They put that dead body in that hole. They cover it up. Then a lawyer comes to the judge and says, yeah, but you know what? He did more than one murder. We just found out he killed two or three other people. Well, we've got to dig them back up. You can't kill them again. You see that? You can't kill, but that's what religion is doing all the time. They're digging up a dead body and putting it back on trial and making that dead body feel guilt for sin and whatever it is they're doing when they've already died once. That's a problem. Hey, listen, if you made the payments, you're done. Say, well, I don't feel dead. Well, that's the problem, isn't it? You know, I mean, it's like Galatians chapter 2. Go to Galatians chapter 2. Does anybody get Galatians chapter 2? I don't get it. Why don't you come up here and explain it to me, Stan? I mean, I don't get it. I have to take it by faith. I don't get it. I'm crucified with Christ. You see that? Did I not say 220? I did say 220, didn't I? Yeah. He says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. I don't understand how I can be crucified and still live. You understand? But I didn't ever feel like I died. You know how I have to take that? By faith. I understand it by faith, but I don't understand it in reality. Stan, did you say you understood this? Now, I'd like an explanation. I've been preaching 24 years now, and I don't get it. I believe it. You all understand? I know that I am crucified with Christ. I know what happened, that God made Him to be sin for me who knew no sin. I know that, you all understand? But I have to believe it by faith because nothing changed. I'm still walking around. That's weird, isn't it? Watch out. You know, it's like when they're on death row. Dead men walking. You know, that's what's full of this room is dead men walking. You've already died. Well, you know, I'm always curious with people trying to become Christians. Well, have you died or not? You know, I've already died. When did I die? AD 33, amen? I was crucified with Christ. Can anybody explain that to me? Terry, you're pretty smart. What does that mean? Man, you can't explain it. It's a God statement, don't you understand? How did I get crucified? He imputed my sin onto His Son. You all understand? There's no other explanation for it. There is no other explanation for it other than it's a God thing. Can you say God thing? It's a God thing. So how did I die 2,000 years ago? I wasn't even a twinkle in my mama's eye 51 years ago. And that's the most amazing thing, isn't it? I mean, people don't get it. Do you realize that even before everything happened, before the foundation of the world, God chose you in this room? Can anyone explain that to me? I'd like some explanation. Tony, you've been studying. I've explained that to me, brother. That's like deep stuff. I do believe it. Do you understand? I do believe it. I praise God for it. But I don't completely understand. Not at all. Amen. That's the point. Folks, this stuff you take by faith. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. That sounds like a deranged person. You died, but you're still living. Well, see, if you understand life after death, death is just a small process of what you're going through. Steve Atwood was having a heart attack, he thought, one time. And he was pretty cute, and we're all this way, so, you know, I appreciate Steve's honesty. He said, I didn't mind going to heaven. He said, that moving day just scared the dickens out of me. You understand? I understand that completely. You know? I mean, listen, I'm ready to go to heaven, but give me the oxygen first. That's how we are, amen? Hey, I don't know about these chest pains and going to heaven, but get me to Baptist South right now. We have in us the sense of will. Look what he said in verse 20 again. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I. Well, now I am really confused. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Man, that is the most powerful verse in the Scriptures. Carlson, you understand it? I don't understand it. Well, that's true. Yeah, but there's other people walking around just like you. No, that is true. And I mean, I can make some explanation of the passages. But the problem is that the concept is very difficult to understand because, hey, when I got saved, I was the same DNA, same everything. On the other side of salvation, guess what? Same way. What changed? Something did change. What changed? Faith. My faith changed. That's all that changed. I believed God. You see, nothing changed physically. So that verse is very difficult to understand and comprehend. I do understand it in practicality. I understand it in truth. What? Well, that is the change. Christ in you. Christ is in you. And the mindset of Christ is in you now. You have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But the realization is it takes a while for that mind to develop, number one, because we don't really walk and understand the truth. And number two, when you think about being crucified and being resurrected, why would you feel, and we were talking about justification in the earlier service, why would you feel guilt if you've already died and you're resurrected? You wouldn't feel guilt. So the people in churches that are feeling guilt or they want to clean up their lives haven't, in a sense, died. You've got to go through the process of death. Now, when I die, does death have any sting on me? No. Why? I've already died. Where am I? I'm sitting at the right hand of God in Christ Jesus. Can you explain that? That's hard to explain. I believe it. My faith changed. I believe it. Why? Because I was convicted of the Word of God in the sense of believing it to be true. Does that make sense? It's a faith issue. You can't physically feel yourself in the presence of God. You know what it's like? I'm going to draw a little cartoony-ish picture. Don't think of the picture as a mockery to the Lord or to anything. That's not what I'm trying to do. But just think of the throne of God for a minute and the head is there. Okay? You with me? But the body is here on earth. Okay? And even though the body is here on earth, the head is up there at the throne, at the right hand of God. If you'll think about it for just a minute, you're a member of His body. Amen? Do my toes know where you are right now? Could my toes point you out right now? Yes, they could. Why? Because my head is seeing you. Understand? I'm pointing my toe toward Gene. Now I'm turning my right toe toward Carlton. He can't see that. Doesn't matter. I can see him and I know where the toe is. Does that make sense? Why? Because our head of the body is at the right hand of God the Father. We can see things and function the way the head needs it to do. So when He wants the body to do something, He can direct it based upon His will. I'm not making any sense. Why? You've already died. You're now members of His body. You're not in heaven physically, but your head is in heaven. You with me? Your head can see things that you can't see and knows things that you can't know, and yet it can direct its own body to do things that they don't even know it's doing. It is like a one-way mirror. We can't see in, but He can see in and out. Y'all understand? And so when it talks about us being crucified with Christ and talk about us dying with Christ, that's true. But then you've got to see the other part because we're to walk in what? Newness of life. Go back to Romans chapter 6. By the way, I might just add, there's only one baptism in this Bible that can justify a person. What? It's, yeah, but, you know, 2 Corinthians 12:13 would be a better note. Why? Verse 2. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now think about the body and the head and where it is. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ? How did we get baptized into Jesus Christ? By one Spirit are we baptized into one body. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. We're baptized into His death. How many baptisms did we partake of? Two. We were baptized into His body. What happened to His body? It was baptized into what? Death. Were you made partakers of that baptism? Yeah. Did you die when He died? Were you in Christ? Yes. I feel like I'm not... Am I getting this across? See, guys, listen. You were put into Jesus Christ and then partakers of His death, which was baptism into death. He was overwhelmed in death. I'll use another word. He was submerged into death. Is that making sense? And when you got placed into the body, you were also submerged into death. That is very important. Why? You have already died if you're a Christian. When did you die? 33 AD. How did you die? By being baptized into Christ. Once I was made partakers of Christ and He died, listen to verse 2 again. Or verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His what? Luke chapter 12, verse 50 is that one. You need to write that in your Bible. And Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. Need to write those notes in your Bible. You will not remember them. Baptized into Jesus Christ, you should have 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, and Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death. By the way, was that water? No, it wasn't. And like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in what? Well, if you were partakers of His crucifixion and His death, you should also walk in the newness of His what? You think Jesus is going, boy, I got to go to hell again? No. Do you think He thinks in His mind that there's anything that could send Him to hell? No. So why are Christians walking around saying, I'm saved, but, you know, if I walk out of line, God's going to drop me off into hell? They don't have the Spirit. Listen, let me tell you what. Guys, people are confused. Man, listen, if you've died, then you're dead. You know, most people say, well, I'm afraid of dying. Not me. I've already been through it once. I've been through it once. Haven't you? If you're saved in here, you have. Now you should walk in newness of life. You know what that newness of life should include? No condemnation. Why? Your sins were paid for. You went to the grave and they dug a hole and they buried you in it. How'd you do it? By association with Christ. By faith in Christ. Yeah, but your faith too, it includes that. Galatians 2 verse 16 says we are justified by the faith of Christ, but even we have believed in Jesus Christ. You've got to believe in Jesus Christ. You can't get saved without believing in Jesus Christ. But you're not saved by your faith. How are you justified? By His faith. Why? He went to that cross believing God the Father would raise Him from the dead and went and made the payment. So in association, and I'm trying to deal with this in the sense of what we talked about earlier with justification. Folks, listen, I've been planted in the likeness of His death. It's a faith issue. Does anybody really understand all this? No, all we can do is either believe the words or reject them. I can't explain them. I love Carlton's thing. Well, I can make some comments on the verse. But how God did it, it's a God thing. I just believe it. And you know what? My life is better off for it, for a lot of reasons. Because you know what? I used to walk around thinking God was going to put my good on one side and my bad on the outside and weigh it out. And you know what always ran in my veins? Guilt. Condemnation. I'm not good enough. You know, and we judge each other that way all the time, don't we? Well, that person, she's not measuring up. You know what? We ought to look at each other as we're perfect. That's why he says in Romans chapter 14, to judge not one another anymore. That whole passage is so powerful. Why should we not judge one another anymore? And listen, if they've already died, they're walking in the same newness of life that I'm walking in. And look at the attitude here. I love verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, notice the colon there. You notice the colon at the end of verse 5? Knowing this, that our old man is what? Man, it's gone. It ain't coming back. And you know, I did a story. Remember that girl that fell in the drainage pipe? Jessica, I think her name was. And I talked about being half resurrected and half buried. You know, and I did that message during that time. You know, that's how people are living their lives. Listen, you need to learn to live it as if you've resurrected. You need to learn to, hey, oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He bought me and he saw me with his redeeming blood. I love the mirror, I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the crimson blood, whatever it is. Man, you know, you want the victory? You want to have a victory life? You want to have a life that is given up? Hey, die! And then walk as if you're resurrected. Walk as if you've been given new chance at life. Walk with the attitude of gratefulness. You know, if you think you've been dead and buried and resurrected, be grateful. Don't walk around with you on your mind. You know what? I'm thankful every day I walk with my mind set upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think about the grace that he's poured upon my life. I can look at all the negative things in my life and say, look at my life, oh, poor me. I look at Stan and I think, I got all my toes. I have nothing to complain about. He has shreds of skin left for a foot. I knew a guy that lost all of his legs in Vietnam and walked across the United States. You know what he said? For Christ's sake, he did it. He wrote a book called One Step at a Time. You ought to read it. You know what? You haven't got anything to complain about. You know, God has made your life unbelievable. He's allowed you to already pre-die without the death and the pain being upon you, but placed upon his lovely son. He allowed his lovely son to be put into a ground and go into hell and pay for your sins. And then he resurrected him out of that grave. Up from the grave he arose! Man, victory! And you know, with that, you gain the victory. With that, you have the victorious life. You have the life that you can live that is unbelievable. And your attitude makes you a poor person to be around. Nobody even likes you because of your attitude. And you know what? You ought to have the best attitude in the world. Amen? You ought to walk around with grace. People say, why are you so happy? Because I am forgiven. I am not going to hell. I am not going to burn in a torment forever. Why? God's grace poured down upon me. Grace believers ought to have the absolute best attitude anywhere in the world. Amen? Because of these passages. Now watch this. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be what? That henceforth we should not serve sin. Don't let that be the issue of your life. I'm going to focus on being a better sinner. No, that's not what God wants. I'm going to try to conquer all these sins. Listen, if you believe that He paid for all your sins, why don't you leave them alone? I thought about life and marriage and children, and I've learned that I don't know much about anything. Yeah, I see people think they know something. And I'm like, how dumb are they? I absolutely know very little. But if he's gone through all the effort to get rid of the old man, why are you keep resurrecting the old man trying to get him to do what you want him to do? You know, the only thing that should change in a Christian's life is his vocabulary. Think about it for a minute. I want a Jaguar. I want a Z3. I want this. You know what? Whatever you desire, you can have. Whatever it is. You want a $1 million stand? I can show you. You know, whatever you desire. If you want $500,000, I can show you how to have it. The problem with most people is they can't say no to the I. The I is a little self-serving little boy or girl inside of you that's screaming, I want this! I want that! I! And you know what? Instead of that, when you become Christian, it should be, I wonder what he wants for my life. What does he desire? So I don't like being married to this woman. I don't like being married to this man. Who cares what you like? It's not about what you like. What would God have you to do? What God put together, let no man put. What would God want? What does 1 Corinthians 7 say? If they were pleased to let them remain married, even if they're unbelievers in the marriage. Why get a divorce? I want this. I want that. You're not doing what I want. Well, marriage has never been about what you want. Wake up, boys and girls. You know why there's divorces? There's only one reason for divorce. Your desire. You can use any excuse. Adultery, fornication, whatever. The reason I'm telling you this, because most people don't care what the Lord wants. Most people only care about what they want. You know what they've done? They resurrected the old man to give him his own wishes. But you know, the moment you get saved, your concern should not be about you. Should be about the Lord Jesus Christ and pleasing Him. You know why men get a divorce? No, I had nothing to do with that. It said, the Bible says it's because of the hardness of a man's heart. It's weird, isn't it? Say, well, you can't suffer it. You know, I've done marriage counseling for years. And I use this in the resurrection process. Because, you know, something changes when you get married. It's not, I got to go do this. It's now, we've got to go do this. You see, there's a change in vocabulary. You see the tie-in I'm trying to make with the faith of Christ? Are you seeing that? So, I've actually been in counseling sessions before people get married. And I never tell them not to get married or get married. That's up to them. You know what I mean? I don't tell them. And the realization is that I think that when people start using terms inside there, like my checkbook, this is my house, or I need a prenuptial, or we're going to have two separate checkbooks. I always ask them how they're going to do finances. I'm going to have two separate checkbooks, and I'm going to pay like a renter. And I'm like, okay, obviously you don't understand marriage. Marriage, everything becomes one. Say, well, I can't trust him with my money. Then don't marry him. You understand? Don't marry him. Say, I can't trust him. Say, well, he may play around on me. Then don't marry him. You understand? If you're worried that he's going to play around, don't get married. You understand? Period. I'm going to keep my checkbook separate. You know what my recommendation would be? Don't get married. Why? Brenda and I have everything one. She decides she needs something, she just better go get it. Would I get mad at her for going to get something? She deserves it just like I do. Amen? Now, if it's big, if she's going to go buy another house, I'd like to know a little bit before she does it. But she would let me know. Why? She's concerned on me too. And the point that I'm trying to tell you this is that when you become one with Christ, he relates it with marriage in Ephesians chapter 5. You died with him, you were buried with him, and now you're resurrected, and he's seated at the right hand of God. And what does Ephesians chapter 2 say? Look in Ephesians chapter 2. Hold on to Romans 6. We're coming right back. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, has he quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, are you seated in heavenly places? Do you feel like it? Not always. But how do you get that? The head is up there, and it's seated at the... Therefore, the body should feel that way. Well, I'm not worried about them dropping off into hell. Then where is eternal security? People say, I don't believe in eternal security. Huh? If you died with Christ, you were buried with him, and you've been resurrected, and the Bible says you are seated with him in heavenly places, why aren't you eternal? How could you lose that? You see that? And I mean, you're already there. I don't feel like it. It isn't about your feelings. You got to be careful about your feelings. They may be gas. You can't trust feelings. But I can assure you that if you're saved here this morning, you don't have to wonder whether you're going to get to heaven. You can relax. You're either saved or you're lost. If you're saved, you're in heaven already. Now, go back to Romans chapter 6. Now, this is going to get very precarious here pretty quick. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Was it? Notice it said, knowing this. Should we have any doubt? Know this. He's saying, knowing this. Having confidence. Knowing this. With the knowledge. That our old man is what? Crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Hello? When you died, he can't hold you accountable for sin anymore. It'd be like taking that electrocuted buddy out of the grave, putting him back up, and I said, we're going to have another trial. Okay, he's guilty. Put him back in the electric chair. You know, he wouldn't even jerk. Might start smoking, but he wouldn't jerk. I just thought of that thought. Might smoke, might be barbecue meat, but he wouldn't jitter anymore. It's already been paid for. So he that is dead is freed from sin. That is the great, great doctrine of the Bible. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if justification came by works of the law, then Christ died in vain. See, guys, I have already been crucified at the cross. I've already been buried. I've already been resurrected. Ain't nothing going to hurt you. Don't be so counting on your life. You know the Bible says in Philippians, be careful for nothing. Why? You've already died. What are they going to do, run over you with another semi? Ha ha! Right, brother? What are they going to do, run over you again? Leave you dead? I think about Terry all the time laying out on that road. They said, Terry said, he heard the state trooper go, well, we got two dead ones here. And he couldn't speak because he's, you know, he got crushed and his lungs were. And he was trying to say, I'm not dead. And he was scared to death of dying. Amen. But you know what? If he laid on that road again today, he said, I don't care if they come and got me. I watched Brother Moore after that car accident when he went through the windshield back about 5 years ago. And I went to see him. He leaned over to me and he said, Barry, unplug all this stuff. This is stupid. He wasn't afraid of dying. This is stupid. Why are they trying to keep me alive? Are you worried about you? Are you worried about your life? My life isn't even my own. I'm not my own. I'm His. You know, I've been bought with a price. Listen, I'm walking around. You know, your attitude ought to be, praise the Lord. You ought to be, hey, whatever I can do. You ought to be dragging people to this church. Amen? Because you know what? They're in bondage in these religious systems. And they've never been freed. And they're in shackles and fetters. And they're being yanked along by the religious system and the law. And their condemnation is piled upon them like chains around their neck. So heavy to pull them to the ground that a slave wouldn't even complain if they were under the same shackles. And they're shackled up. And you know what? We've got the key. We've got the key that can unlock those fetters and those bounds and knock them loose and let them walk free in the grace of God at the finished work of Calvary's cross. And there ought to be some excitement in here and some vigilance to trying to bring people to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a freedom! I said they may come and lock us up as Christians. They can't lock me up. I'm already at the right hand of God the Father. So they're going to kill you. I've already died. So I'm really worried. What are you worried about? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. And my life is a mess. Yeah, we can make it that way sometimes, can't we? You know what makes it a mess? When you start saying, I. That's what makes it a mess. Everybody goes, I want this. Anybody ever get to where they just want something? They get it on their mind, they can't let go? You know what?
Larry's a good example. It was just like me. I watched him have a picture of that Z3 on his wall for years. It was literally years. And he said, one day, how many years? 7 years. It was up on his wall. Whatever a man thinks on, he'll end up doing it. Now think about it. If you think about getting rich, what do you think is going to happen? Probably going to get rich. You think that you're Mr. Playboy and you want to be frisky with all the ladies? I bet you that will come to pass. Whatever it is that's in your mind is what you think on. You know what? You're either thinking on the Word of God and the truths of the Word of God, or you're thinking about your own will and your own desire. And see, the problem is you've got to determine which one you're wanting to think on. So I don't like being married to this person. I had a couple come to me just the other day. I don't like being married to that person. You know what I told them? Too bad. You want me to tell you what God wants, or do you want me to feel sorry for you? God wants you to stay married. Say, but this guy's a jerk. Well, the vetting process should have been done a little bit better. Amen? But he's a real jerk. Yep, I understand. He is. You know what God's will would be? That y'all stay married. I'm going to get a divorce anyway. Okay. Now think about that. God didn't say that marriage was going to be easy. Child rearing. Easy? Hard too. Now think about it. I mean, I want you to think about it. Those that remarry, are they going to have trouble in the flesh? Somehow they think, this is the most amazing thing to me. They think that something's going to change when they get married again. Nothing changes. Ask Larry, he's done it 3 times. Amen? And you know what? All the girls probably had different personalities, didn't they? You know what the problem with that is? He ain't no good at it. So what do you have to learn to say? No. No to yourself. No to your own desires. No to your flesh. Why? Because you want his will. Now, you just have to say no. Say, but I love a woman. No, 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 you don't. You love what a woman does for you. But you don't love a woman. You know what? If you really loved a woman, she would give you back everything and there would be nothing you would ever desire. You ought to read the Song of Solomon. He shows up from a long thing and his love of his life is there. And she's playing hard to get. He knocks on the door and he brought a special perfume for her from way away. She said, go away, I don't want to see you tonight. And he was crushed. Because his whole desire was to please this woman. And the woman realized that she had made a mistake. You know, playing silly games are just stupid. Amen? She was playing a silly game of hard to get. And he didn't come back. And she ran out the door in the story and looked for him in all the gardens, trying to find the love of her life. You know what? You got one chance to make your marriage great. And that represents that oneness, that unity, that defining is exactly as being married to Christ. Now, we're not the bride of Christ. You understand that? But you're one with Christ. You're oneness. And he uses this as an illustration. And the point I'm making with this is everything my head wants me to do, I want to do. Is that true? No. Usually it's whatever I want. I'm screaming like a little stuck pig and everything else. Why? Because I have I too. You understand? So we ought to understand it when the women do that. But we're not very compassionate. And you know what? If you start to realize that you've been that, you know what? You don't live in fear of Jesus Christ at all. I live in joy, waiting for that day. I can't wait. I am so excited about His coming. It is coming. I'm excited. People say, why are you so excited? Because I get to see the love of my life, man, my Heavenly Father, the guy who gave me all the life I really have. My first life and the second life. My eternal life. I can't wait to see Him. And if you can't wait to see Him either, then you're probably saved. But if you can wait, I had a lady in the grocery store say, well, I hope He holds off a little bit. I'd like to see my grandchildren grow up. Really? Not me. I hope nobody has another birthday. I hope the rapture's today. And I hope you're ready. I'm done.